we pray. Heavenly Father, we know it was your presence and yours alone that brought forth the Son, and then through him by your own power and wisdom brought forth the universe and all these things that are therein, and your presence alone, Lord, is honored today, knowing that as the prophet was indicated to tell us that you came down to your children who had fallen, but this time you're here for redemption. You're that great, mighty, and first resurrection, the completion of it, and Lord, getting ready for a millennium, and going on in those ages which we know are going to unfold your glory, and also, not only that, but unfold our true humanity, a link with the true deity, which is that seed within us, and we're looking forward, Lord, to every expectation that was unfulfilled here, that not only every tear shall be wiped away, but there'll be joy sustaining us in peace and happiness and all those things, Lord, that make for a life of true labor, Lord, and true industry. There'll be commensurate rewards, all those things, Lord, we know will be there, because the death will not be amongst us, the enemy will not be with us, but will be, Lord, secluded with you. And this is what we really desire, to have this great family life that's coming up. We pray you'll bless us this morning, study of your word, and encourage us, Father God in heaven, to be more and more full of your spirit, more walking in the light, and more manifesting grace and truth than ever before. Heal the sick amongst us, and help us, Lord, in all ways. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're at number 33 in leadership. And, of course, this is Brother Branham's last message. And Brother Branham's last message to the Laodicean church might well have been preached with insight for this hour, wherein we have the bold, bald statement of Pope John Paul that he is going to lead the three great monotheistic religions of the world for God. Now, if Pope Paul John had proclaimed himself, rather he has proclaimed himself the future leader under God, though indeed it is not under God, but actually the devil. And there in California in 1965, the Full Gospel businessmen had identified themselves as leaders under God. But in 1994, we saw their efforts and efforts of all men and organizations taken over by John Paul, just as Brother Branham said that Rome would do. Now, this is what I want you to recognize here, that these businessmen have spoke assuredly with the voice of God, and their backing was ministries like Oral Roberts, gifted men. Not one man did they have in their group that was a true revealed prophet. In fact, they allowed every type of mishmash to pass as God. So even in the meeting when Sister Florence Shakarian, I believe it was Florence, had been revealed by Brother Branham that she would die at 2 o'clock in the morning, they held their Pentecostal powwow and were determined to twist the arm of God until a false prophecy came forth, "Do not fear, my daughter, thou shalt live and not die." So Billy Paul went to his dad and he said, "Dad, what about it?" He said, "All I know is, son, God told me that she'd be dead at 2 o'clock in the morning. Watch the clock." At 2 o'clock in the morning, she was dead. Now, did the Pentecostals repent in the face of "Thus saith the Lord"? No, they didn't. They proclaimed themselves the leaders. Hallelujah. We're marching to Zion. We're the leaders. The ministry failed. Everybody's failed, but we're not going to fail. You watch us turn the world to God. Give us the tools. We've got some of the tools, and there's always money. Well, I'm going to tell you, Rome has got the tools and it's gold. Now, in 1994, according to Brother Branham's prophecy, which Rome would be, these businessmen would lead the world to Rome as leaders, and all the leaders would lead to Rome. And Paul declared himself that he would be the head of the monotheistic religions, the three large ones, and by 2000. Now, let's face it, there'll be those who look at that as simply a pontifical statement, and you know we use the word pontifical for the word pontiff or pope, we mean puffed up. But it's a pontifical statement that might be like ex cathedra spoken out of the throne. And he sees himself, and no doubt he has absolutely every reason to see himself. He has the inner information. He has the leading of some authority, which we know who that authority is. to call himself the leader. Now, there's nothing that these persons can do to abrogate that, because with duplicity and their particular work they entered into, they have led all the churches to Rome, as many people say, just as a little sort of an axiom, all roads lead to Rome. And, of course, also, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. So you will find the most bastardized religion in history coming up. If you think that Ezekiel's vision was a pretty horrific vision, and Jeremiah's and the Old Testament prophets, when God rolled the curtain back and showed them what lay in the temple of worship, all creepy, crawly, filthy things under high heaven, women engaged in adultery, true and fanciful, everything under high heaven going on, as even we found in Romans 1 and read part of it last night. Now, this is what is in this religion, and there's nothing anybody can do about it. Nothing whatsoever. So they turned aside Brother Branham. Now, of course, they don't believe it, but it's true. They don't believe what Brother Branham said. They don't believe what I am telling you and what you and I believe, but it is nonetheless true. They led all right, but they led in the wrong direction. Brother Branham turned the corner, which was upward. They turned the corner, which was downward. See, and this is a funny thought right there, but these guys like Sheely running around saying the bride was undressed by guys like me, and they're trying to dress her up. Merciful God. He might have a stripped-down whore he's working on, but I can tell you, I count myself a part of the bride. He ain't going to touch me with a 40-foot pole. Nor will Reagan and all the rest of them put together. Or Branham Tabernacle. Or any other tabernacle. I stand alone, heaven or hell. And there's no purgatory. Now, I'm on the hook. And I trust it's God's fish hook. If he hasn't got his fish hook in my jaws and hasn't got in yours, we're out of luck. All of our talking, all our surmising, all our boasting, everything is in vain. As the Apostle Paul said, boasting is excluded. It seems that most people have no trouble in that very thing. Of course, they don't believe it, but it's still true. And the terrible and tragic thing is that the world, having rejected God under the appearing of God, and God vindicating himself and his word, must now turn to God under the devil, orchestrating the worship, until finally Satan is demanding worship as he incarnates himself, and it's a reincarnation, like in Judas, in some person. He'll lead in worship. Thus, right now, Satan is leading in the worship of God, but will eventually demand it himself. Now, remember, that was the prize that he was going to get in Jesus, fall down and worship me. And you notice he was orchestrating the worship. And he's doing it now. They refused the one whom God sent, the one fully proven to be Malachi 4, Revelation 10:7, Revelation 3:20, John 14:12, the voice used by God in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, even Elijah, who came to restore. Having refused the emissary of God and God himself, they will receive the emissary of Satan and Satan himself. Now, you see, that's what people say. Well, I just can't believe that. If I rejected this and I didn't know any better, where was William Branham anyway? I'm only 25 years of age. My God, the man's been dead almost 30 years. Talk to your leaders. Talk to your leaders, blind leaders of the blind. Crows that painted themselves white with some kind of a sterile whitewash called good works and love, which makes me want to vomit. You call it love to lead a man to hell? You call it love to prey upon a person to seduction and then bring them to a false dogma and a creed where there's no life? You call that love? Call it love if you want. I call it hate. I call it vengeance of the devil. I call it the lifeblood of hell. Don't talk to me about love. I'm not interested. Unless it's the love of God that comes through his word that makes you love his word and thereby love each other. And you can overlook everything else because nothing else really matters. You look in the mirror and you see yourself and you see your own self-hatred. And you can turn to the Word, the only place you can turn, which is God in print, as Brother Branham said in letter form. And there, through manifesting that vindicated Word, we find what real love is. Real love. Having refused the emissary of God and God Himself, they will receive the emissary of Satan and Satan himself. They will do it. Having rejected the Son of Man ministry, they had no choice but to receive the Son of Perdition ministry as their own vindication and authority. You say, well, Brother Vail, you mean to tell me that just as soon as they turned that down, they took the other? Let's face it, they had already taken the other. And in their comparison of matching wits with wits and so-called evidence with evidence, it wasn't hard for them to see that William Branham was no longer attracting the great crowds to build the great organizations, to build the people having their pride. We've got hundreds. If this church had hundreds, I'd have to kick some of you out or walk off or leave you. Don't kid yourself. You're in the last stages of child training. Not some great evangelistic spurge that's coming on. If there is any coming on, it's only going to be for the foolish virgin as far as I can see. I wouldn't say anything else. Deceived and deceiving, they have denied God Himself, all the while claiming Him. Isn't that nice? They are victims of their own reasonings and delusions and heirs to destruction when all the while God stood by with His wisdom and His power that they might be heirs with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and sit on the throne instead of going to hell, to the hell the devil and the world have made. They could have and should have emptied themselves out to become full of God. They were already naked, so all they had to do was to put on a wedding garment that stood by. But no, they stayed with Revelation 3, rich, increased in goods, and have need of nothing, denying God's own vindicated testimony against them. Against them? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be against us, who can be for us? You used to see only the devil, and that doesn't matter. Well, in this case, it does. In this case, it does. And refused to believe the truth because the lie was so much more to their liking. Even as with Eve. You could say, what could be wrong with it? I see nothing wrong, in spite of the fact God said it was. What short hair, dress, slippers, men's refusing to take a stand. What's that got to do with it? Hallelujah. God loved the world. He gave Jesus. I got Jesus. You got Jesus? You got to be nuts. He's on the throne. You ain't got Jesus. The only Jesus you could have would be the Father. I came in my Father's name. Now tell me you got Him turning down the Word. Tell me your child trained when the only training is the Word. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience. Obedience to what? Obedience to what? The Word of God. Why, they have no clue. How could they be wrong? They refused the yoke of God. Where labor ceases and peace abounds. But the yoke of Satan, they took the yoke of Satan, where peace is a delusion. Oh, I got the peace in my heart. Got the love of God in my heart. A delusion. Look, 8 people made the ark. So don't sit here thinking 8,000 are going to make the ark, or a million is going to make the ark. Millions now living will never die. They're already dead. They're just waiting for the second death. Pull your punches in, kid. You're a straw baby. You ain't no Tyson in heavyweight. The only heavyweight we had was William Branham. And according to them, he was a lightweight. If they were so great and wonderful, how come they couldn't pull even one rabbit out of the hat, so to speak? How come they didn't have one, thus saith the Lord, vindicated? How come they didn't stand up and prove their point? William Dan Branham didn't prove any point. It was God vindicating himself to the people and simply letting them know, this is my servant that I am trusting. Yet that servant of trust came to the place of perfect faith and brought us thereto by the divine revelation which we accept. So they took the yoke of Satan, where peace is a delusion and slavery for life is the optimum for them. For their ears have been placed against the doorposts and bored by an awl, and nevermore shall they hear the word of God or be set free. Let me just read out of Revelation chapter 18 concerning Babylon, where every single Babylonian lives and is a part of, making the composite a singular from a plurality of many. So in Revelation verse 20, rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone with a great millstone and cast it, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon, and every single Babylonian, and the composite many members make the one body, shall be thrown down and shall be no more found at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman, whatever his craft be, shall he be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. A candle. And they claim to have the light of the world, and they do. And they claim to speak for the light of the world, and they don't. And they don't even have a candle. And wasn't it one of their priests who said, it is better to light a candle than to curse the darkness? Well, light a single candle. They don't even have a candle to light. Nor do the Protestants. Because their sum and substance is total darkness. Why do you think only in this hour, even perhaps hardly at the time of Brother Branham's death in 65, the black hole was brought into scientific parlance? That a star can collapse by its sheer weight and drag everything with it. And these religious people are now a black hole, collapsing by the sheer weight of their sin and undoneness, taking everything in with them. Reminds you of that blackness which was there before God said, let there be light. I don't know. No light of the candle. No voice of the bridegroom, though they scream loudly, we have the voice of the bridegroom because we are the bride. And the bride won't be there either. Completely devoid of every sheep. The world now, one complete mass of seething, crawling billions of human beings who are beasts. No wonder Brother Branham said, I would sooner have the oath of Columbus perpetrated upon me in its entirety than 5 minutes in the Great Tribulation. Shall be no more heard in thee at all. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. Oh, yes, they could run around. They had the finest hotels. And they used their money even to take advantage of Brother Branham. When Brother Bose gave up the privilege of having an interview for some time with him one night in a meeting in the Full Gospel Businessmen in Chicago, because Brother Organ Bright and his gang were all worried about now going to Europe because Brother Branham wouldn't go. So I asked Brother Bosey if he'd give up a few minutes to Brother Orgenbright. I didn't know that that great strategist who denied him later, according to the word that I have heard, had all these guys lined up. Shakarians, and who are these rich Armenians in Switzerland that have great big interests in drugs and all, Billy Graham's daughter's father-in-law, said, I forget. When I came up with Brother Branham, I saw those men standing there and I knew exactly what they were. They said, you step aside. And I stood between Brother Branham and I said, Brother Branham, I got you in this mess. I'm getting you out. You come with me. We're going right now. He said, hold it, Brother Bale. God is in this. Money. Take your stinking rotten money in your filth and go to hell with it. Don't talk to me about money. They manipulate whores and everything under God's high heaven, but you can't manipulate God because he owns it all. These business, let me tell you, I am vitriolic. I make no excuse. My language is searing. I make no excuse. I got thin blood that boils easily. If it didn't, I'd add a little alcohol. Oh, no apologies. And I have no fear of judgment because I was there. And Peter said, your money perish with you. He said the truth, which in plain English, according to the scriptures, to perdition with you and your money. And you know the vernaculars, Dr. Phillips brought it out. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and all that were slain upon the earth. I want to read with you what I read the other night in Matthew, the 23rd chapter, to get the complete and perfect picture, because this is the Omega of the Alpha and the crucifying of Christ in the flesh. And now they crucify the Son of God or the Holy Spirit to themselves. And at 23, verse 34, wherefore, behold, I send you prophets, wise men, scribes, some you shall crucify and kill others. You'll scourge in your synagogues, persecute from city to city, hound them down. That upon you may come all the righteous blood shed from the earth, upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias, whom he slew between the temple and the altar. Now let's face it. This generation, this people here, the chaff, these people here headed up by the Pentecostals, all denominations included, headed up by Rome, are going to pay the price for every single drop of blood shed from the year 100 to the year 2000. Hitler spilt the blood of millions, Stalin. Heathen rituals and sacrifices. They will answer for every drop of blood. Now, can you convince them? No, it's always somebody else. It's always somebody else. They're the typical Pentecostals, easy believing shovelers. What the preacher says, they shovel over their shoulder the next guy. If you've had an insult thrown, pass it on. It wasn't meant for you, my son, pass it on. Let it travel down the aisle. Let it ruin another smile. Don't worry. Just pass it on. That's life. As we are all about to start Brother Branham's prayer and invitation to eternal life, do not forget the invitation is subject to accepting the message. And that the invitation is forthwith withdrawn if the message is rejected. You hear what I'm saying? Or the person does not believe in the vindication thereof, so he may have no further reason to inquire. He's finished. He was just a bystander, didn't say anything. And yet it is a blessed thought that if a person does not reject but opens his heart, the understanding will be forthcoming as he is being filled with the Holy Spirit. If he accepts what he sees and knows to be vindication of the man, he can be baptized correctly and begin being filled with the Holy Spirit, when he will soon acknowledge a vindicated, restored word, even as the pillar of fire brought it to Paul originally. From there it will be precept upon precept, line upon line, word upon word, little there little, until growth comes to full stature. How many, if any, who accepted the invitation went on to the filling of a child, to the filling of the Holy Spirit and child training is a mystery. Only God knows. And the foundation, of course, stands sure the Lord knows them which are his. But the spirit or atmosphere of the meeting was not one of recognition, welcome, acceptation, and reception in general. Few there be that are sheep and hear the voice of the shepherd. Page 41, we're reading now. Just a little going back a bit, and we're reading in number 288. I know that's a stern cutting message, brother. Brother Branham has preached. He's gotten rid of every single person. He's eliminated every single man, woman, and child by his message. The word has come like a double-edged sword and has drawn blood to the fullest so that there isn't one person exonerated. It's life or death. It is son of man or son of perdition. It is worship God or worship the devil. It is heaven or hell. And that is the truth. It's a stern, cutting message, brother. But I didn't come here and choose a message to the people just to try to make them sing, shout, and holler. I've been in heathen meetings where they did the same thing. Shout, jump, holler, dance. I'm interested in your life. I'm a servant of God that's got to answer to God someday. And the ministry that the Lord has given me has vindicated itself thousands of times before you. Now he's speaking very authoritatively as to why he preached the way he did, why he said what he did, why he was judging the way he judged. Every rise and fall of his voice meant something in every word. As a sword, either brought life or death. The one that defended, the other destroyed. Remember, Jesus said, follow me. Follow me. Get rid of what you've got and follow me. Now, Brother Branham did not ask any one person to divest himself of money or property. In fact, he was against it. He himself would not take large sums of money. I met the man who was there when $1.5 million draft was presented to Brother Branham by this rich, rich Armenian in California whose wife was healed of cancer. Of course, she died a few years later, but she was healed of cancer. And Brother Branham turned it down. I've seen him turn down far less than that, $1,500. He was not a man to receive any sums of money. He was not interested. Now, get rid of what you've got. So it had nothing to do with personal property. It had only to do with what they were believing, what they were teaching, what they were following as their leader in order to be leaders who led to that one that they said they were following. And Brother Branham categorically said, you are not leading them there, you're leading them to Rome, which is Antichrist and devil worship. Leave all you've got and follow me. See? In other words, the young man had to leave every single thing that had to do with the religious or spiritual order. Whatever it was as to his conduct and his faith. And faith comes before conduct all the time. Whatever it was, He had to leave it in order to take up a new revelation and a new conduct. And the new conduct at that time would have demanded getting rid of all the externals, which would be a burden to him as he went around the country. Now remember, the disciples said, "We left all to follow you," and he didn't say one word about them not doing it. He said, "Don't worry, in this world, the world to come, you'll have a thousandfold, hundreds of fold for what you've given up. Follow me. Get rid of what you got and follow me." And that's the only way to have eternal life. That's the only remedy he gave this man. Was the only remedy he gave this businessman. And it's the only remedy I'm giving you, businessmen. It's the only remedy he gives anybody. His choice. He makes his decision. It's perfect every time. And we must follow him. Is the only way to eternal life. So the leadership of God is, what is it now? Follow the vindicated word of the hour by the Holy Ghost. So therefore, any invitation from this point on is contingent upon the vindicated word. Turn down the message, you don't have an invitation. You are a presumptuous bumbler. A person sitting there without a wedding garment. And at that time, it means every single one of the wedding garment gets thrown into the great tribulation. So you can see that we're not too far off. Let us bow our heads, he says. I'm going to ask you a question. And I want you to be real sincere. I want the sister to play this for me. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Now, isn't that beautiful? Right away, the mind goes back to the church where they heard it. I can hear my Savior calling, "Take up thy tongues and follow me." I can hear my Savior calling, "Speak in tongues, you've got the baptism with the Holy Ghost." I can hear my Savior calling, "Be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." If that's not enough, add the Lord Jesus Christ for good measure. No problem. I can hear my Savior calling, and there's three of them. They're all working together. I can hear my Savior calling. Can you? That's a laugh. You don't hear a Savior calling. Now, let them sing that and stand before God on the day of judgment, having sung it. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take up thy cross and follow me. Remember, Brother Branham said, we sing that song, I'll go with him through the judgment. That's doing it right now. And we're not blown away. In the first psalm, we'll be standing in the judgment. We won't be blown away like the chaff. When the Holy Spirit comes down moving, he moves one upward, one outward and down. And they're going to be singing, I can hear my Savior calling. And they did not hear the Savior calling, though indeed they did. Mechanically, they certainly did. And even spiritually, they certainly did, but their ear was already punctured through the organization, creeds, and dogmas. So under those conditions, how many would actually hear the Savior calling? Well, they could all hear the Savior calling as per the word, the message having gone out. But how many knew it would be the Savior calling, and how many would answer the call under the conditions of that message? And yet, if you listen to the message, it's terribly, terribly simple as to conduct. It's terribly, terribly simple as to believing. Because you don't have to believe in anything anymore that's mystical. It's all laid out under thus saith the Lord. All you got to do is bungle your way down like we've been bungling our way down for centuries. Let me assure you, there's only one Jesus Christ who lived the entire word. We believe it. You think here all together we'd live this word, you are a little insane this morning. Even each one put his own little drop of goodness in the cup as per his own behavior. And child training, it would be hardly an ounce in an 8-ounce cup. But nonetheless, we heard him calling. We knew it was God. When I heard Brother Branham, when you heard him, you knew it was God. You could hear a Savior calling. And the beautiful thing is, that's what you're waiting for a long time. I waited many years for a prophet. Didn't know I was waiting for William Branham. But I was waiting for one since I was 20 years of age. In 1947. I was 33 years old at that time. 13 years after, I knew there, 13 years after, I knew there had to be a prophet right in that area, 10, 12, 13 years. He came. I didn't know he was that prophet. But back then in 1962, especially opening the seals in 3, then it was fixed that he was that prophet which was to come that I was waiting for. To open the Bible and to make us to understand what could not be understood unless you stood face to face with God and He told you. So, we heard the Savior calling. I want the old time altar call. And brother, sister, as we see, just look what's going on today. Now with your heads bowed, just think a minute. Look what's taking place. Did you read the newspaper last week with what that man in England said? That was Sean Schoenfeld. He's a very tremendous scholar. But he's a Jew and he's all cooped up. He said the crucifixion of Jesus Christ was only a fake. You know, the Passover fraud. It was fixed up between Pilate and Jesus. Did you see what this American theologian said? He said that Jesus was just put to sleep on mandrake weed. Many of you theologians know back in Genesis where they talked to the mandrake weed. It'll put you to sleep like you're dead. Your heart hardly beats for 2 or 3 days at a time. And when they gave him vinegar and gall, they said that was mandrake weed. And they put it up there, and they put him up there in the tomb, and he slept there for 3 days. And of course, when they went there, found him walking around. Could you imagine that? Theologians, seminarians, see, make-believers. Of course, when they put the vinegar and gall in his mouth, he spit it out. He didn't drink it. Another thing, if that be so, then why did those disciples who came and stole him away, why did they give their lives and martyrdom for him? And fell, counted themselves not even worthy to die like he died, turned themselves upside down and sideways on crosses and things. And if they knew he was a hypocrite, and their own selves being hypocrites, how would they have given their lives for him like that? See, there's no sense in what these people are saying. They know there had to be something there, and there is something there. But they're not like the scientists who knew that there was something, and they found the atom. And then they knew there was something beyond the atom, and they found it. See? But they're not going to get away with producing life. Life only can bring life. Oh, you see, it's this intellectual day we're living in. Education, civilization, and the modern trend of the day is all of the devil. Now notice what he said, the modern trend of the day is all of the devil. Civilization of the devil, yes sir, the Bible said it is. It said this civilization has death. We will have a civilization like this in the other world. Will we have a civilization in the other world? No sir. We'll have a different kind of civilization. Education, all these things, they're of the devil. Science, now notice he explains this. Science perverting the natural things, making something else. Now, What would Brother Branham think today of gene splicing? What is going on? Now, was Brother Branham actually condemning education, civilization, and the things we have today? No, he was not. He was condemning what is in the control of the devil and what the devil has done with it. Because after all, 2 and 2 make 4, and that never came from the devil. It is true that the atoms came from God, never came from the devil. It is true that everything out here is what God made, and there's nothing made that is made that wasn't made by Him. And everything was good. And all things are pure to the pure in heart. And nothing of itself is evil. But when you begin messing with it and taking out of the context wherein God placed it, then it is diabolical. And that's what he's talking about. Many people thought that Brother Branham condemned education. If that was so, why did he want his daughter Rebecca to go to college? Why did he himself regret he never had a better education? He didn't know the difference between the word true and truly. One day he said Balaam was a true prophet. And I knew he struck a sour note. So I said, Brother Branham, you said Balaam was a true prophet. Yep. I said, you mean that he was true like Moses? He said, no. I said, didn't you mean he was truly a prophet, but not a true prophet? From that time on, he said, Balaam was truly a prophet, which is the correct language. He would have liked a better education. It wouldn't have hurt him, because he wouldn't have used it wrong for 1 minute. Look what they've done to you now. Reader's Digest last month before, I believe it was, said, young men and young women, when they go through middle life, women in menopause between 20 and 25 years of age. That's because of the hormonal situation going on today and the deterioration. Most people don't know that hormones and antibiotics have brought on the plague of the yeast infection, which the Bible speaks of, mildew. You seen mildew, what mildew's like? Mildew on the corn, mildew on the wheat, on the barley. Mildew everywhere. It's a type of fungus. It's getting the bloodstream. And as long as the antibiotics are being used and the hormones are being used, which they are, in birth control, on a regular basis, there's going to be more and more of it. And I believe a lot of men are having yeast infection passed on by their wives, and they don't even know where they're getting it from. It's the same principle I'm talking about. AIDS is communicated by the fluids. Gets through the whole body. Turns into zombies. Can form so much alcohol in your blood, you can act like a drunker person. They'll pick you up, give you a breathalyzer test, and there's no alcohol, but you're still drunk because of the yeast infection. That brought on the other syndrome there, what do you call it? Where you're completely blown out. Fooling around with nature, getting out of balance. One more generation, there'll be nothing. But who knows? It'll be a horrible looking sea. What the creatures will be, soft and mucky. No muscle tone, no tone. No strong genes. Look at the soul and the spirit. Look how the spirit and the church has got. Hybrid. Intermarried to the world. Oh, what an hour. Flee, children, flee. Flee to the cross. Come to Christ. Let him lead you. Now, there again, he doesn't say, but there's only one way to come, and that's by the word, as Peter said, being born again, not a corruptible spora, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. The incorruptible word goes with the incorruptible blood. Now, if you've got an incorruptible blood and a corruptible word, forget it. Because you ain't got no blood. You haven't any blood. Because the blood does not avail unless you come through the covenant. The last day message is the only one that's got any life. The life is not in the blood. The life left the blood. And the conduit of the life is the word. While we have our heads bowed, our eyes closed, and please bow your hearts at the same time, will you? I want to ask you a question. What do you really... Do you really look at yourself, to God? In other words, do you look to God, really look at yourself? And do you feel that you're not where you ought to be in this hour? Because the rapture could come at any time. See, it'll come. What rapture? According to William Branham. Now, they believe in the rapture, but they call it the appearing. And they're totally void. You're full of unbelief. Because to have faith is to have the same understanding of the word that God has. But if man tells you to pick up a crowbar, and your understanding is a pitchfork, you're never going to bring a crowbar. So God's word, devoid of revelation, is going to have the same results as a man asking for a crowbar, and all the guy thinks is crowbar is a pitchfork. Won't work. There'd only be, if that statement I made a while ago is true about the rapture and about believing the message, which is contingent to the invitation, turning it down annuls the invitation. Turning it down leaves you sitting there without a wedding garment. He said there'll only be about 500 people in the rapture that's living. Now, that doesn't mean dead now. It means those that are standing on earth. They'll be changed. Why? Talking? Why? Taking all of Christendom together, Catholics and all, there's only 500 million people. There's more than that. There's much more. The Catholics have close to a billion, understand. And the Protestants are maybe not too far behind. There's quite a number out there. The claim, well, he said here there's only 5 million claim to be claims Christianity, but branded across the line there are many more. But he's just estimating now and just giving figures to let you know how that he doesn't say there's only 500 going to make it. And now one out of a million be 500 people. Now that's his figures right there. There's that many people missing every day across the world, and we can't even account for them. See, it'll come, you won't even know it. People go on preaching and saying, see, it'll all be passed. Like Billy Graham said, they're making altar calls. And did Billy Graham want to include himself or just somebody else? See, they'll be making altar calls, but not me, I'll be gone. I'm older than he is. He could be here making the same altar calls on the same gospel. Phew, man alive. He said, no, like Jesus said, they said that the disciples said, why say the scribes Elijah must first come? And he said, he's already come, but you didn't know him. But they did to him what they said they would do. Now that's today, that's repudiation. Remember, you cannot kill Jesus, he's not here. And you cannot kill John the Baptist, he is not here. You cannot kill Elijah, he is not here. But you can turn down the Spirit. You know that you're not right with God, and you'd like to be remembered to God, that God would set your heart right with God. Would you just humbly now, in this very still moment, raise your hands? I don't care who you are. Would you do it? You see, I'll raise my hands to God. God bless you. God bless you. Are you looking in the mirror? I ask you in Christ's name, are you looking in God's mirror? Now, there's a brother speaks in tongues. Now, when he interprets, Brother Branham says this. Now, you'll notice that he allows this and then uses it against them. I want to ask you one thing. How many in here are Pentecostals? Raise your hands, Pentecostals. Practically every one of you. Yeah. That's why they're out of order. Imagine a person speaking in tongues during an altar call and a vindicated prophet stands there. You talk about unmitigated gall. Ignorance, subversion. Now, how many in here claim to be Christians? Pentecostals, not Christians. Raise your hands, wherever you are, claim to be Christian. Did you know the Bible spoke of this? This would happen. What would happen? Message in tongues interpretation. Even this happened in the Old Testament when they were wondering what they would do. How they could get away from the siege that was coming. The Spirit fell upon a man and he prophesied and told them where to meet the enemy and how and what to overcome the enemy. That was the Old Testament, same as the New. Now somebody might say, oh, that man, oh, that wasn't so. But what if it is so? You say, oh, I've heard that before. But what if this is so? You see, that proves then that in here there's many needs of change of heart. If that's the Holy Spirit speaking. We should have had this written down. What we should have had. There's things that need to be done, so it's with you. Now it's with you. In other words, he used this against them. Their own people stood up and endorsed the invitation and every single thing Brother Branham said. But in their hearts and their minds, there is no way they could have believed. I speak across the board now, because there could be one or two that did believe. Just as I am without one plea, and he goes on down. Oh, think today, the hearts are becoming stony. Stone has no life. Filled with the world, indifferent, church members, lukewarm, like the rich young ruler. Now, what's a stony heart? A stony heart, and not a heart of flesh, is filled with the world, indifferent. They're church members, they're lukewarm. They turn down the reality of God as God presents himself in his reality. And don't know that the great Holy Spirit's standing, knocking at the door in this Laodicean age. He that will hear my voice, the word, will open his heart. I'll come into him and sup with him. Now, Brother Branham said that was he himself. Now he's bringing it down to the level that everybody uses, individuals, inviting Christ to come into their lives. And the Spirit speaking through this brother a few minutes ago said, now watch, he's using it against them. I'll take that stony heart out of you and give you a heart of flesh tender toward God. Look how it's become now, just an intellectual emotion, see? Not a tender heart full of love and sweetness toward Christ. In other words, he uses their own testimony against them, their own gift and everything else, and that's exactly true. Don't you want that kind of a heart? That's a heart of flesh, of course. That's soft, warm, yielding, living, pulsating. How are you going to face Christ with an intellectual concept of him? In other words, Brother Brown is saying, look, if you can take this book here and everybody's doing it, it's approached from the intellectual concept. I can read it, can't I? They can read it. They don't even know it says there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. They can't even read that with understanding. Right, they can't even read that with understanding. Let me quote it. Oh, you're preaching to God. Preaching to God. I'm not stupid. They're crazy. They're crazy insane. You don't think they're insane? They are insane. Women positivity are going to see these scorpions in delusion with long hair because they cut their hair. They're nuts now. Look how women act. And they type the church perfectly. The church is crazy. The devil possessed. Now, I know there's a difference in devil possession and insanity. I'm not stupid. I read my Bible. But they're both. Intellectual conception. What they perceive by reading Scripture, somebody forces down their necks when they go to church. Let's each Christian just raise our hands quietly now and pray. Oh, God, please, Lord, catch this day that we're living in. Oh, it's so hard, Father. Satan has just done so much to the people. Their hearts have become stony. Your Spirit speaks right out. Your word comes forward vindicated. Notice, vindicated, vindicated. Brother Branham never ceased to use the word vindicated. But the old-fashioned born-again experience, there it's becoming to a denomination, intellectual conception, which is known as the proof text salvation. Jesus died, hallelujah. Did he die for you? Yes. What did he take away? Your sins. Then you don't have them anymore. Right, you're born again. Hallelujah. Wrong, you're dead under doornail. Proof text salvation. Using the Bible like a manual you pick up to use a hammer and square. You got to have the spirit of the one that wrote it to be able to understand it. I couldn't even use it as a manual for a hammer and square or a book on a hammer and square. I don't have that kind of spirit in me. See? Vindicated. Old-fashioned, born-again experience. Come into denomination, intellectual conception, lots of music, a lot of shout, carrying on. But really, that heart of flesh, that spirit, that eternal light, has certainly become foreign to the church. In other words, the heart of stone is what he's describing here again. And the heart of flesh does not have that. God, it breaks my own heart, and me a sinner, saved by your grace. It makes me feel so bad, Father, to see the church that you died for, the church that you're trying to redeem. I think of the vision you gave, just gave about that church of the United States and other countries, what a horrible looking rock and roll striptease it was. But somewhere along I saw coming another one, and that was the Virgin Bride. Now remember, he's still giving an invitation to Christ while the church is giving an invitation to fornication. Why does a woman take her clothes off? For only one reason. A woman doesn't dress for a man. She dresses for a woman. She undresses for the man. That's scientific. What's the church doing? It's naked, for one thing, entering into spiritual sexual perversion or sexual spiritual perversion. I pray, Father, that if any of these here tonight that's ordained to life or would like to accept it, that this will be the hour they'll do it. How many could follow him in Pentecost ordained to eternal life? As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. How can you believe if you're not ordained to it? How can you go to the ocean slurping up krill unless you're a whale or some kindred of the whale that's ordained to slurp up the krill? How could you, as a tiny little infinitesimal bug, a white corpuscle, attack and slurp up a deadly virus if you weren't ordained to do it? They don't understand Scripture. Do you realize the Scripture I just quoted is one Scripture nobody can refute? As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. They'll fight everyone in the Bible, but they can't fight that one. There's nothing they can do about it. You can take every translation under high heaven. It's all the same thing. As many as were ordained believed. If you didn't ordain, they weren't believed. They couldn't believe. Okay, that's all there is to it. Break up the stony heart. Now, the old heart of the world. And if they want peace, we spoke of that, didn't we? They want something to satisfy, something gives assurance. May they accept the leadership of Christ tonight to lead them to a peace that passes all understanding. How does a peace pass all understanding? It simply means there's nothing to understand about it. I'm going to figure this peace out. Let me see now. I have a jolly reputation of being a great psychiatrist. And in my soul there are these ripples. And I do have trouble waking in the morning thinking of paying my bills, so I got to get this little bill payment fear under control. And I've got to get this next thing under control. And you know what? They begin to do it. But this peace, there's no understanding. You can't figure it. How can you have peace when the vessel's going down? I don't know. Just got peace. How do you know that you can't understand it as past your understanding. Live, die, sink, swim. What kind of peace is that? Pretty good piece of a piece, if you ask me. That's the whole jug in my books. It's past my understanding. I can't explain it to you. But I know there's no tomorrow. I know there's no corners to turn. I know there's no fence to jump off. I know there's no future decisions to make. It's over. I've been shanghaied. The great pirate came down to take back his lost children from the devil. He's not really a pirate, he's a redeemer. All right, the great redeemer came down and overcame the pirate. All right, past understanding. You can't figure this thing out. No way. A joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. What about a joy that's screaming day and night? People don't like our church because their joy is not full of yelling and jumping down. It's full of glory. They're trying to use the forces inherent in the Holy Spirit to anchor them day by day and meeting by meeting in this church with the word of Almighty God. Let the storm blow. What does it matter? It's not going to blow your tent away. What if they do close the doors? What's the big deal? We got tapes. We'll make out fine. No problem. See? Yelling and jumping. That's what Regan wanted. Everybody's going to be great if you just jump and run and yell. And the funny thing was, no one responded. He tried to jumpstart their motors, the four cylinders out of four were frozen. Now, I'm not against people vociferously praising the Lord, neither is Brother Branham nor anybody else. But the point is, that's not it. There's something beyond all of this. It's full of glory, even something that death itself cannot harm. Grant it, Father. Well, death cannot harm the soul that's committed to God with the word committal. And the word is an oath, and the word is a contract. Now, with our hands up, I wonder if how many in the building would now would say, I'm going to stand. I don't care who's sitting by you. It's God talking to you. And you really want to be a real Christian, see. And less than that, or less unless that is an impersonation, in other words. Oh, I'd just rather go out and be in the world. In other words, if there's just an impersonation going to take place, forget it, go on out there and live like the devil. Because all you're going to do is cramp your style. And your style is not God's style. Your style is the devil's style. Now he's got a double crimp in you. He's got your sad, dragged out, woe-begone creature. False hope. We don't want impersonation, see? Pretending we're something we're not. Now just examine yourself by the word, by the message. Now notice I put them in apposition. Just examine yourself by the word, which is what I gave you tonight in my message. Now examine. You are confronted by eternal life himself to lead you to himself, which is via a vindicated prophet. So now you have the opportunity of going and getting. This is it. Absolutely parallel and greater than Paul's day. And the final sealing in by God himself, which was not in Paul's day. God himself just sealed the word. And he had to come back and open the seals and bring us forth the word, then seal in the bride. And he is our seal. He's the head. And Brother Branham said, come on, this is what you can have. This is yours tonight. Examine yourself by the word, which is the message that I preach. Examine what a real Christian should be, rugged, loving. Not one of these modern Christians. Why it's so soft, flexible, half-dead, rotten, interbred. See, it's not real Christianity. There's no live, die, sink, swim in Christianity. Jump here, jump there, this, that, and other thing. Pretty soon something else come along. They told me the same thing. Oh, something else will come along. I said, drop dead. Yeah. I've got a great advantage. I was around the prophet. I've been led of the Lord in this respect, plus the fact I'm 80 years old. What am I going to start looking at? Oh, Brother David, you've got an active mind. You could look. I've done looked. I'm like John when I saw the heavens open. Who worried about hell? Hell from beneath has moved up to this earth, my brother, sister. I'm not interested. You couldn't give me this earth on a scoop shovel. With billions of gold and the authority to take over from the devil and rule the world. Forget it. I wouldn't take it. Oh, no, you couldn't run fast enough to catch me and give me the world. Oh, forget it. I want to see everything burn, and I mean burn, brother, burn, and then come back and start all over again. And not even what I got now. I want to drop what I got now. I'm looking for a wonderful time ahead. And the longer I live, the more I see millennium. It's just people really living. People. Flesh and blood people. Not angels. Not birds. Not mugwumps. Not eerie creatures. People. And we'll all look pretty. You know why? Because we're all going to glow. From the intensity of life. Even coming through your pores. You ever seen a person so vital you could just stand back and look at him? I've seen only a couple in my life. And all I want to do is just look. That's the millennium to me. Life. Get all the devil strings off and all the crud and crap in our hearts out. all the junk in our minds, all the inordinate feelings, all the inordinate passions, we have your anger, strife, malice, hatred. Just get rid of it all. God's going to do it in the great resurrection. See? Don't you want that sweet fellowship with Christ, the Holy Spirit, the conformity of your heart to the Word? Move right up into Christ. If you want that and desire God to see your stand tonight, right in this group of people, if you'll just do it. Now, he's letting them know that the group of people that raised their hands, we got it. Ain't got it. Remember, he said the majority of Pentecostals. Hallelujah, we got it. Spoken tongues, that's it. But it wasn't. You say, will that mean anything, Brother Branham? Oh, yes, sure it does. If you're ashamed of me before man, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father and the holy angels. But he that will confess me and stand for me in this land, I'll stand for him in that land. I'll confess him before my Father. Confess what? Confess that there's a Jesus that loves you and you love him. Hallelujah. And we get along just great. Or you're going to confess Christ the Word. Now that's the difference, see? Anybody can confess Christ. Everybody's happy to talk about Jesus. Oh, that wonderful man. Yeah, he's God, the God man. Yes, he's the Son of God. He's God the Son, rather. Yes, and he was one mind in essence with the Father, is what it was. That's how they're one. You could have 300% identical horses. They're still not one. They're three. Same identical life, same identical skin, same identical texture, same, right down to the last iota, the last atom, and whatever's in the atom. They'd still be three horses. How do you make one God out of a Trinity? Yeah, their language bamboozles you. No wonder they can't read anymore. They've been taught that a pitchfork is a square. They're square, all right. Sure, stand up before the Lord. Stand up with this word. This is the only thing in my life that I really know concerning God that I'm steady on. And I'm not ashamed of. I believe this message, and I can't prove it. I believe it was proven, and I believe we believe it the way it was proven. Now, no matter who you are, woman, man, boy, girl, wherever you are, Christian, non-Christian, minister, deacon, wherever you are, if you'll just believe with all your whole heart just a moment, and do this much tonight, just let go, just let God know that you're sincere. Now, how can you be sincere if you come against vindication as proving that Brother Branham is a correct word prophet? Now look, I'm Pentecostal. See, I'm this. Whatever you are, I profess to dance the Spirit. But Brother Branham, I thought as long as we had this and had it, no, you we haven't. If you believe me to be God's prophet, now ha ha, there's a condition laid down. You listen to my words, see? God's prophet, listen to your words. I listen to Jesus. That's a deception in this day, see? Didn't the Bible say to be so close it would deceive the elected if possible? The elected down to the soul. Why is he elected down to the soul? Because that's it, foreknown elected. What foreknown? The soul. What's elected? What's predestinated? The kind of body you're supposed to have. See, do you believe me to be God's prophet? Listen to my words. Now, there's a deception in the land. I'm not God's prophet, according to people. You're listening to these guys with the gifts that vindicate themselves by gifts and let them put the giver to one side. I don't put the giver to one side. I'm here with the giver. And he said, the line between them and us is like a razor blade. But if you dance the Spirit still with the things of the world, there's something wrong. If you speak with tongue, Paul said, I can speak with tongue of men and angels and not even be saved. Uh-huh, both kinds. I can do all emotions, have all faith. I can preach the gospel. I can give all my goods to feed the poor. I can carry the word in the mission fields across the world, and I'm still nothing. In other words, I'm not born again. You can take this message, pervert it. You're not born again. And they're doing it. They're doing it. See? Inside of that inside, brother, your spirit breaks up when you die. It takes its flight, but your soul lives. And that's true. The spirit goes, the soul lingers, then the soul goes. Goes to judgment. Now look at yourself. The inside, remember the inside of the inside. That's the inner soul. Now look at yourself. Really, are you a genuine Bible Christian full of the love of God? No way. You can only love God with all your heart when you are thoroughly circumcised in your heart. And the thorough circumcision can only come by the Word. And that can only come by your mind receiving and letting go down in your heart and say, this is what I rest on. Live, die, sink, or swim. Forget anything else. You've got to come to an absolute, which is number one, vindication. Number two, he couldn't make a mistake if he tried. This is the Word of God. Number three, I must ask God to reveal it to me. Number four, I must pray that the Holy Spirit loosed within me, and this Word will make me the living Word, right down the line. You don't go anyplace else. It's all laid out here as it was with Paul. It's cut and it's dried. In other words, the harvest is over. There's no more sowing in this and that. It's a reaping. And the harvester is catching up with the reaper. Remember the Bible said in the last days when this takes place, a marking angel went through the church, went through the city, sealed only those who sighed and cried, for the abomination was done in the city. What's done in Rome? What's done in Babylon? What's done today in the headquarters of Pentecost, every place else? Ha! It always was filthy sex and it still is, and don't try to tell me different. I'm too old to be fooled by that crud anybody wants to pass off on me. And that's always a sign of spiritual decadence. It's a type of the church gone into idolatry. Is that right? Ezekiel 9, we know that's the truth. The marking angel went forth and put a mark on your forehead and sealed them. Those that sighed and cried. Sighed and cried over sin. What's sin? It's unbelief. What's belief? Receiving a true revelation of God. What's unbelief? Turning it down. So what has the world done? They've turned it down. Where are they sighing and crying? Well, the bride can't do too much because she's so happy she's got it. She can sigh and cry for her friends and those outside and feel very, very sorry. But also we also sigh and cry because of the depth of sin, what's going on amongst our young people, our kids and ourselves. And it's come to the place where you can hardly rub it off anymore. It's like when you parked your car in front of the factory and they were spraying paint. Try to rub it off your car, it's become part of the car. You got to get the sandpaper out and trip that thing right down to the metal. That's the way you and I are. We've got to keep stripping down and stripping down. We get right down to the nub of our hearts. So the wellspring can come forth. This life around here has become a part of this. It's tragic, but it's true. If you don't believe it, why have you got yeast infection? Antibiotics and hormones. Just physical, spiritual. I'm glad that Brother Branham was given permission to tell us we didn't do it, because we're still doing it. Backslide 1,000 times a day, but there's a hope for us. And yet someone got him comatose or back to the dust. Merciful God. I thought this message enlightened, but you see, it doesn't necessarily enlighten. It can bring death. After that came the slaughtering angels in the four corners of the earth, which is coming right away. We see it coming. War's moving right in to kill the whole earth off. That was nothing. They couldn't touch them that had the mark. That's the angel marking. This is one of God's. Like they took Lot and his daughters out. Is your heart so concerned about the sinners and the way that the church and the people are doing? Do you sigh and cry about it day and night? If so, I'm wondering. That's the scripture. Well, now, how far did Brother Branham take that? He wouldn't cry. He wouldn't pray, even pray for America anymore. But you notice what he did? He brought his message to the church as much as he could. And I know that he was really beat down in his soul because they never took it. But finally he came to the place, I'm sure, where he knew that there was hardly anybody left. America's all singed out. Now, but he said to the church, he said, are you sighing and crying over the people in their sin? In other words, as I said before, their unbelief. They're depending upon a revelation which is not vindicated. They're depending upon the creeds and the dogmas. They're depending upon the vomit, partly digested food from yesterday. The best they can be is a foolish virgin who has last, the life of the Word has gone out. Oh, they're right as far as their doctrine's concerned and justification and so, something like that, those things. But there's no life in it anymore because they turned down the living Word in the prophet of Almighty God. See, dear God, I'm not standing because Brother Branham said so, but I heard his word say that, and I'm going to do this. To you, Lord, I stand. I'm in need, Lord. Will you supply my need tonight here at this place? I stand. God bless you. God bless you. I'm in need. I want you to have mercy upon me. God bless you. I want you to be that kind of a Christian. Now remember, the person that's standing by you is the same thing you are. I want you to just reach over and take a hold of your hand and say, Brother, sister, pray for me now. In other words, those next year are supposed to be born again. I want you to pray for me. Just say it with all your Christian sincerity. Pray for me. I want to be right with God. You pray for me. I'm going to pray that God will give you the opportunity. We can't stay here much longer. We're at the end of our time. Everybody, please have to say amen. There's nothing left. Everything's gone. The church is head of the ecumenical council. Look here. Don't you know what the Lord said about Los Angeles? She's gone. Hollywood and Los Angeles, sliding in the ocean. California, you're doomed. Not only California, but you, the world, are doomed. Church, unless you get right with God, you're doomed. Thus saith the Holy Spirit. Church is doomed. The church is purged. Absolutely is doomed. Have you ever heard me use that name unless it came to pass? And you've known me 20 years? Did they ever tell you anything in the name of the Lord but what came to pass? And I was quoting Samuel. If everything I've ever told you would happen, happen, say amen. They said amen. See? I tell you, it's the hour. You'd better be getting right, all of us. Let's pray one for another. Dear God, we stand here not as a dying people. Our faces turned toward the earth and dust. You have to give us this cutting sermon, Lord, as to cut you out of the block. Cut you away from the old pit. We see the examples of two men, one of them being a religious man, went to church, rejected leadership, eternal life. The other rejected worldly fame and turned to eternal life. We see both their conditions tonight. One's in heaven, one's in hell. According to the Bible, rich man in torment, Moses in glory. Father, we want to be like Moses. We want to be led by your Son, Holy Son, Jesus Christ, to eternal life. Give it to our hearts tonight, Lord. Tear out the old stony heart. Place into us the new heart, the heart of flesh, the heart that you can talk to and deal with. That's the heart of flesh, one that God can deal with. And we will not be haughty or different or indifferent, I guess he might have meant. May the Holy Spirit never leave, Lord. May it come and ordain this people, speak to them, tear up their stony will and put in the will of God. Now you see, they don't even believe they have a stony will, see. Now that's what they don't understand. They don't have the word of God, which is the will of God. Brother Branham said, so save everyone, Father. Give us of thy love. Give us a place, Lord, that we'll get away from all this emotional part to the real solid part of feeling, the heartfelt part, the deepness of the Spirit, the richness of God, the kingdom of the Spirit in our hearts. Grant it, O great leader, great Holy Spirit, before you take your flight into the skies with the church. The Spirit and the mystery comes incarnate to us. We'll crown him King and King and Lord of Lords. O God, let me go, Lord. Don't leave me behind Jesus. Let me go with you, Father. I don't want to stay here on this earth to watch these tribulations coming on. I don't want to stay here in this insanity. I don't want to stand here in hideous sights, people losing their minds. We look at men trying to act like beasts and look like beasts. They sure do. And women try to look like animals, and they sure do, with the pain in their faces, knowing that these things are predicted to happen, that the thing will. They'll go insane till locusts will rise up with hair like women to haunt the women and teeth like lions and things like that. You said the mental condition of the people would be completely gone. We see it in the making right now. Lord, help us. Restore us to the same mind of Jesus Christ our Lord. There's only one way to escape, and that's through this word, which gives a true invitation to the true God and the true eternal life. That's all. Nothing outside of it. O great leader of eternal life, we accept your promise tonight, Father. I plead for this people. I plead for everyone in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. I pray that Christ, the Son of God, will come into the hearts of every one of us. Now, what's Christ, the Son of God? It's the Holy Spirit, of course. And mold us and make us into new creatures in Christ Jesus. That's child training. Bringing us up in the body as individuals right to the headship, which we are under now, but will be physically as we're changed. More physically as we're changed. We love you. We want our dispositions changed, that we can be your children. Feel of your Spirit moving in our hearts, Lord. Tenderize, tendering us, making us tender and bringing us to realization of this insane age that we're living. And granted, God, when we see young women caught up in the web of the devil, young men, perverted minds, children, dope addicts, cigarette smoking, drinking, immoral, Satan's eating. God, if you took 6,000 years, according to the Bible, to build an Eden, and you put your son and his wife in this, his bride to rule over it, and Satan came around perverted, he's got 6,000 years to build his own intellectual Eden through science and education and so-called intelligence, and he built it into a mess of death. Why? Because through perversion. He threw the laws out that are established to take care of the laws of the universe. Of course, he threw out the law of God first. Oh, God, take us back to Eden again, Lord. That's where the tree of life is, where there's no death, there's no sorrow. Grant it, Lord. We stand humbly waiting for the second Adam to come for his bride. Make us part of him, Father. Of course, we'll meet him in the air. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Do you love God? Do you feel that what I'm trying to tell you? If you understand, raise your hands. I understand what you're trying to say. Did they? That's the question we don't know. We trust that some did, if not all. Can you see the insanity of this age? Look how it's gone. There's no even no reason amongst the people. No more. It's gone. Where? Even the leaders. Look at your president. Oh, Lord, look at Clinton. Who was president back there in 1965? Look at Clinton. If they want communism, let them have it. What do the people want? Let them have it. Where's the Patrick Henrys or George Washingtons? Where's our leaders that stand for principle? We haven't got them anymore. That's true. Where's our churches, our ministers? Will the people just take on prohibition? In other words, sign the pledge and stop drinking or something? Or come and join a church and do this or have a little sensation, some other little thing? Where are those men of God, those prophets that stood out and dared to defy all the things of the world? Where are those men of integrity? Where are they at? Well, you couldn't find amongst Oral Roberts and that gang out there. Let's face it. And people sell God down the river to take authority? Well, these bunch of men were nothing but another Sanhedrin. They're so soft and through intellectual conception. See, there's no integrity till they're not here anymore. Oh, God, have mercy upon us. These hideous sights coming upon the earth. You can see how the people's moving right into it. It's insanity. And when the thing strikes, the church will be gone. God, let us be there. That's my prayer to the great supernatural being that's in this building tonight. The great Christ that still has eternal life. And Christ, of course, is Messiah. He's the great Redeemer and Keeper. I pray thee, Christ, as I'm here with my eyes open looking at the church that you've redeemed with your blood. God, don't let one of us be lost. Now, notice his language goes back and forth, and this is so difficult. Why? You could be a Jesus only or Trinitarian and say, nobody knows, forget the whole cotton picking mess. He goes back and forth and back and forth. He uses the language everybody else uses. And it's a pity in my books, and I'm not going to be critical of Brother Branham, but the point of the matter is, who are you praying to God, and who are you praying through, and who is who? Now, this book has got it right. And Brother Branham's got it right in his doctrine. But many times his language can be very confusing. But I'm going to tell you something very, very flat. There's one God who is Spirit, period. And he's not Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He is Holy Ghost who became a Father by bringing forth a Son. And the Son is not God. And the Son has only certain attributes from God. And God, the Father, is still his Father, his God, even though he's his Father. So whatever you're talking about down here, you've got to leave with that structure as it actually is. But there is a bouncing back and forth here, and I know Brother Branham's mind is perfectly clear. But it's not that clear to the people. See? Now, we want to be right with you. So cleanse us, O Lord, from all of our iniquity. Take away our sins and all those other things. In other words, we can't, but he can. He's the only one that can do it. And we must rely upon him to do it from the start to the finish. There are those that say, well, Lord, you gave me so much, I'll finish the battle now with what you gave me. There is no such thing as that. Even with what God gives you is still under his control. We are merely stewards. And that is the whole thing where Adam went off track. He was only a steward. But Eve took headship over Adam, and she acted as though she owned the whole cheese. And when she did, she messed up everybody, causing an interruption that's been hell for 6,000 years. And I'm not happy about her doing it. And Brother Branham wasn't happy about her doing it, and Adam wasn't. Nobody's been happy about her doing it ever since. But she did it. And that's what you're looking at right today. There's got to be a getting back to the Word of Almighty God, where God himself is sovereign, even as God is sovereign over Jesus Christ. I don't care if Jesus Christ said, I could now call for 12 legions of angels. There was no way he could be obedient to God and still call for them. He'd let God down, let himself down, everybody else down, been all over. See? We've seen you heal our sick, even raise our dead, come back to life through prayer. We've seen all these things happen, Father. Now bring us back to life. In other words, join us back to God spiritually. Bring us back to realization of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Grant this, Father. I commit it all to you in Jesus Christ, a name. And then he writes, he sings, till we meet. My question is, how many are going to meet him? I know a man who always tries to sing that song, till we meet. He cannot sing it. And yet he's a tremendous song leader. I won't tell you who is, none of your business. I have no respect for him, I can tell you that. I've yet to hear him start the song. I've got no voice in all the world, and I can start it right now. When you see people live such a life, as I've seen people live, you don't say, bless God, there's a child of God, a believer in this message. The liars will not be in the kingdom. The thieves will not be in the kingdom. Deceivers aren't going to be there. Make up your mind. We weren't delivered from sin to continue therein. No way today. But this is an hour, brother, sister, the world's never seen, will never see again. And we're a privileged people. May we understand our privilege and make the most of it. And separate ourselves 100% from that group that Brother Branham talked to the last time. The miserable, wretched Laodicean age, naked, wretched, miserable, blind, standing there dancing and screaming like a bunch of filthy, fornicating hula artists, saying, rich, increased in goods and don't lack a thing, come and join our fornications. Let them do what they want. Let's make our vow to God this morning. Even as Brother Branham said, raise your hand, may we raise our hands within our hearts and stand this morning in prayer and dedicate ourselves to God afresh. Let's rise to be dismissed. Gracious Heavenly Father, we heard the prophet's message, taking 33 messages on them. And here at the very end, the people are standing, Lord. I don't know if they really understood what Brother Branham said about his word being the message being vindicated. That was the way they came. The invitation was there. And to bypass it meant the invitation was completely null and void. Lord, it takes a lot of something to believe that. It takes a lot of dying out and the dying down. It takes a lot to live, die, sink, or swim to come there. But God, you gave it to us. And we're glad that you did. We're glad you took us the way you took us. And now we stand this morning, live, die, sink, or swim. This is it. There's one thing we ask of you, Lord, this morning, honestly, sincerely, and that is, by your grace, by your Holy Spirit, you put in our hearts, absolutely put there as never before, that complete and marvelous determination which you can give us, O God, that your life might be lived through us to the measure that you desire it, in the way that you desire it, in the principles and purpose you desire it, so we might be living members of a living God. And I know, Lord, that leaves it kind of obtuse and vague to the people when I speak this way. But I don't know what you want for every person here. I know you wanted me to teach, and I'm doing maybe not my best, but I am teaching. You wanted me to write a book. I wrote a book, Lord. You wanted me to do certain things. I've done it. But there are certain things in my life, Lord, that I am talking about now, those personal things and attitudes and the speech and all those things, thinking patterns, and all of these other things that go with it, Lord. I would like to be lined up with the spiritual blue pattern that lies within the Holy Ghost, living in this word to come forth in this vessel, Lord, that's trying to do your will by trying to teach a little bit and help people in this message. And everyone, Lord, in their own capacity, in the same way, so we might not just be members of you and living members insofar that we know we receive grace upon grace, but now through that grace and the strength and energy you've given us by the Holy Ghost, our lives are involved, Lord, with your life. So we can say with Paul, I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith that the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. And Lord, I can see the principle there, and that's what we desire this morning from you. Healing is fine, we desire that too, but this other, Lord, we desire so we can be as John, who said, I wish above else you may prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. Or he might have said, there's one thing I want of you above everything that brings the rest, and that is a prosperous soul. A soul with the right, complete, beautiful, true attitudes that bring forth this word in your being, and the other things will fall in line. This is what we understand, Lord, and we accept this morning. Help us to that end. We give you praise in the name of Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.